Please turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. We've come to verse number 10 in Nehemiah, chapter 4. I appreciate all the music tonight, all the specials, the choir special. I appreciate all this. Nehemiah, chapter 4, verse number 10. Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There's much rubbish. We're not able to build the wall. Our adversary said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease.' It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, 'From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.'" I preach to you tonight on this subject, dealing with discouragement. Dealing with discouragement. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Our Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for what our ears have already heard, our hearts have felt. I pray that you help me to preach now with clarity, understanding, compassion, conviction. May your will be done. May you encourage the hearts of the discouraged ones this evening and help us to see the potential of discouragement and help us to see how we can deal with it and overcome it, we pray. We love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us in Jesus' name. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. In our last message in the book of Nehemiah this morning, we dealt with overcoming opposition from the outside. However, as we come to these verses, chapter 4, verse number 10, all the way down through the rest of the chapter, verse 23, we see another type of opposition coming from within. And it's the enemy of discouragement. Now in these verses we see the following, and I summarize. The people are tired, they're worn out, they're discouraged about building the wall. At the same time, we see the outside enemies are planning a secret attack in which they desire to kill the people and stop the building of the wall. After hearing about the situation, Nehemiah sets a watch on the lower and higher places of the wall. Then Nehemiah encouraged the people to put their eyes upon the Lord and fight for their families. The enemy finds out that they know about their secret plot and the people get back to work. However, this time, half of them went back to building the wall while the other half stood guard for a possible attack. Even the builders, this is all in these verses, had a sword girded by his side. They were all ready at a moment's notice to rally to each other's side during an oncoming attack. Now, as we come to the end of this chapter, the people are putting in long hours, refusing to quit, and being devoted to this worthy cause. Now in all of this, what is it that we can learn from? What is it, and what's the lesson for us through these verses, verses 10, down through the rest of the chapter? One great lesson that we can all get from this text is how to deal with discouragement. Now in the Christian life, no matter who you are, there are moments of discouragement. It may be in your marriage. It may be in your job. It may be in your church. It may be just a personal battle. But you name it, and you will have discouragement every now and then. Discouragement will try to creep into your life. And through this message, we will see some things about how Nehemiah and these people dealt with discouragement. And as we look at this together, there's no doubt help for us all. Now, there's three things I see. Point number one, I see the discouragement. Now, I'm not going to take time to read it again, but verses 10 through 12, in these verses which I've already read here, we see three separate things that is taking place brought to our attention to show us the discouragement that was taking place at this time. As a matter of fact, there are three separate groups of people who are speaking. One of them speaks in verse 10, one of them speaks in verse 11, and one of them speaks in verse 12. And what I want to do is I want to look at every one of these separate three people and these groups of people and what they said. And in their words, you can hear coming through. I'm talking about the Israelites who spoke in verses 10 and 12, their discouraged heart. In verse number 11, we see one of the reasons why they were standing discouraged. First of all, under this, we're looking at the discouragement. Let's notice Judah's words in verse number 10. Verse number 10, it says, "And Judah said," he's speaking here, this tribe, "the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. Now, Judah was the royal tribe. And in their words, we see how they are giving a report that the strength of the people is decayed. That word decayed means to totter, to waver, or have weakness of legs. Then it said that there is much rubbish which is made right here, and it made it to where he thought, and the tribe thought, we are not able to build the wall because of all this rubbish that's opposing us. Now stay with me here because I'm going somewhere with this. It's interesting to note the fact that the wall is halfway done at this time. There was rubbish in the first half as well, folks. Are you listening? There was rubbish from the time they started. But when they got tired, they took their focus off of the wall and they saw the inconveniences. They saw the rubbish instead of seeing the wall here. And it's interesting, somebody else made this statement in a nutshell. They're not able to build the wall. Guess who that was? It was Sanballat. Are you listening to me? When the Israelites were tired and worn out, they were agreeing with the outside enemies. They were discouraged. There's no doubt about this. And in bringing up the rubbish, they were seemingly complaining about the difficulties of the work of God, the inconveniences of serving the Lord. And I wonder tonight, what do you see as you serve God? Do you see the wall or do you see the rubbish? Now let me say something to you here. The devil is a master at trying to get you to focus on the rubbish instead of seeing the wall and the importance of it. When you serve God, there are difficulties. When you serve God, there are inconveniences. But folks, it is there whether you like it or whether you don't, but you have a choice to make. Will you look at the rubbish or will you look at the wall? And in this, we see through Judah's words that these people are discouraged. We see this people who were looking at their own circumstances instead of the great cause that they were accomplishing. For instance, they had built half the wall in spite of the rubbish. But now, because of their tiredness and their lack of faith, they are seeing the rubbish instead of the Lord. Let me say something to you here, and I've got it in all caps. Here it is. Be careful when you are tired in serving God. Be careful. Be careful. It may cause you to get discouraged and begin to agree with the outside enemies. The outside enemies say, these feeble Jews, they're weak. They can't do this. They're not able to do this. And this morning we saw how they overcame that opposition. And they were saying, pass me another brick, boys. Give me another brick. But as they were working on the wall, they began to get tired. Their strength was wearing out. They were dragging their feet. And when they were tired and dragging their feet, instead of seeing the great cause, they focused on their circumstances, their inconveniences. And now they're saying the same words as the outside enemy is. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things in this life that can wear you out. A lot of things. Marriage problems. The death of a loved one. You name it. There are things that happen in everybody's life that if you're not careful, you will focus on that instead of focusing on what the Lord has called you to do with your life. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's Judah's words. Secondly, let's notice the adversary's words in verse number 11. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Now in this we see that these adversaries were planning a secret attack. They were planning an attack where they did not think anybody knew what was going to take place. They were in secret. And what their desire was is they wanted to stop the building of the wall, even if it meant murder. These are wicked people, folks. And let me say something to you. The devil's not your buddy. He's not your friend. And anybody who opposes the work of God, are you listening to me?
is not your friend either. Amen. I don't care what their name is. You show me somebody that God is wanting to do this and they're opposing it, saying, what about that? Good night. We can't do that. We're not able to do that. What are you talking about? That pastor's crazy. He's talking about doing what? Why, he's fallen off his rocker. There's no way that we are able to do that. Unbelief. You listening to me? I know we are not able, but I know somebody who is, praise God. What I'm saying to you here is we see in these words that there is an enemy and they will secretly plot. They will get in the secret places and they'll start talking about how they're going to stop the progress of the work of God. Are you listening to me? I don't believe it's you. I hope not. But in a crowd this size, in a church this size, do you think everybody's going to be on board with what we're doing here, folks? I don't think so. I wish they were. But every now and then you're going to hear something and lo and behold, somebody might call you and say, hey, can you believe what the pastor's telling the church to do? Can you believe that? Can you believe it? You know what you ought to treat somebody like that with? You know, I can believe it, but since you're so interested in it, why don't you and I go together and talk to him about it? I'm saying the attack of the enemy is in secret. They're planning a secret attack. We see that in their words. Then the third group of people that we see is we've noticed Judah's words, we've noticed the adversary's words, and then in verse number 12, we have come to the Jews' words. In verse number 12, look at it. It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return to us, they will be upon you. Now what's that talking about? In these words, we see how the Jews who were living in close proximity, if you will, of the enemies, God revealed to them where they were. You see what I'm saying? And because of this, they came back and told Nehemiah and the people about the whereabouts of the enemy. And they told them this. In verse number 12, what he's saying, I'm talking about the last sentence, from all places which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. What they're saying is this. He's saying they're everywhere. The enemy is absolutely everywhere. Everywhere you go, I don't care where you go, the enemy's there. He's there, he's there, he's there, he's there. Folks, listen to me. It's interesting that in verses 7 and 8, how it brings out about these different people that have joined ranks. In verse number 7, it talks about Sanballat and the Samaritans. Here's the interesting thing. They were on the north side. Now, listen to me. God's word is showing us something here. Sanballat and the Samaritans were on the north side. Then it goes and it talks about the Ashdodites. The Ashdodites were on the west side. Now you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Then it talks about the Arabians. The Arabians were on the south side. Then it starts talking about the Ammonites. Just a shocker, where do you think they were? They were on the east side. You know what this tells me? This tells me that they were surrounded with the enemy. The enemy had surrounded them. And we notice in all three of these words, get this, folks, in all of these words, I'm talking about Judah's words, the adversary's words, the Jews' words, in all three of these verses, we see how these people are worn out. They are complaining about the rubbish, and at the same time, the enemy has surrounded them and is secretly, I'm talking about seeking secretly to kill them and stop the building of the walls. My friends, this is not encouraging news. It's not encouraging. No doubt this was a time of discouragement for these Jews. After all, their strength is gone. The enemy's not let up the attack. They're surrounded. They're exhausted. They're threatened. Do you see that? They're surrounded. They're exhausted. They're threatened. What will they do? What words? What would Nehemiah do? You ever been there, folks? You ever felt like you've been surrounded by the enemy? Some of you are there tonight. Seems like if you look to the right, there it is. You look in front, there it is. You look to the left, there it is. You look behind you, there it is. You look down, there it is. But there's one place you look and he's not there. And that is up. And what I'm saying to you in all of this
is that we not only see the discouragement, but number two, I want to show you the dealing. Dealing with discouragement. We've noticed the discouragement. Now let's look at the dealing with it. It's found in verses 13 through verse number 22. I'm not going to read all that for time's sake, but I will refer to some of it. As we've seen, the situation is truly discouraging. The issue is now, right now, is how will Nehemiah and the people react? How will they deal with their discouragement? In this, we can learn some great lessons about how to deal with discouragement that comes to us all. Let me say this to you, folks. Do you think if the Jews had thrown down their weapons and thrown down their hammers and thrown down all their tools and surrendered, do you think the enemy would have applauded them? They probably would have abused them anyway. You're going to be abused by the enemy whether you work or whether you don't. So why don't we make up our minds that even in abuse, even in a secret plot, we will not quit. We will not quit. There's several things I want to give you here. And these are things that we can all learn from. That when we are discouraged, we are worn out, we are tired, we are seemingly decayed, our legs are weak. Good night. What can you do at that point? The enemy surrounded you. They're coming. They're planning an attack. What can you do? How can you deal with discouragement? Let me give you several points. Number one, we looked at this morning a little bit, but it's brought out again in verse number 13. Set a watch. Look at verse number 13. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Now in this verse we see Nehemiah placing the people. Now get this, this is a beautiful picture. We see Nehemiah placing the people in the lower and the higher places on the wall. Now get this. The lower places were the places on the wall that were not yet finished. Listen to this. And therefore the lower places were the places where they were most vulnerable and most accessible. I want to help you with something. Every one of us are vulnerable. And every one of us have an easy access into the throne room of our heart. Every one of us. There is a place where you are weak. You understand what I'm saying? You have low places. You have low places in your life. And if you want to deal with discouragement when you're tired, you must go in your mind to your weakest point and set a watch. Some of your weakest points could be depression. It could be a bad thought life. I don't know what it is. But every one of us have low places. Every one of us. But he didn't just put them in the low places. He also put them in the high places. These were the places that were finished. You know what this is a picture of? In my opinion? Of guarding your strengths as well. I'll tell you one thing. I'll never do that. Watch out. You may think that's a high place. You better set a watch. Because the devil knows where to attack you, folks. He does. If he can't get in the low, listen, if he can't get inside in the low places, he'll go to the high places. Anybody out there tonight? Are you out there? By the way, the high places was a place where you had an advantage to start shooting down at the enemy. It could be a picture of taking the high road and living according to God's will. Set a watch, number two. This is really the secret. Verse number 14, notice what he did. Set a watch, but number two, remember the Lord. Look at verse 14. And I looked, this is Nehemiah, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. You know, that's where a lot of us stop right there. You see what I'm saying? Nehemiah brought them together. He said, I know you're discouraged. I know you're disheartened. I know you're tired. I know you're worn out. I know you're surrounded. You're exhausted. You're threatened.
He said, don't be afraid of these people. And the next thing's out of his mouth, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Nehemiah speaks to this people in this verse and gives them the answer to their discouragement, and that is, remember your God. He told them that they were not to fear the enemy, but rather remember their Lord who had been so good to them. In other words, they were to compare their current situations to God. You know, this is the answer to any kind of discouragement we face. I've told you this before, but the devil's a master at taking anything he can and get us to focus our complete attention on it, when what we're to be doing is looking beyond it and remembering God. For instance, and I've shared this with you before too, but if I took my watch off, and this is a picture of the rubbish, this is a picture of the inconveniences, this is a picture of the enemy, this is the picture of being exhausted, being surrounded, being threatened. This is it. This is bad news. It's real. It is there. It's real. That's a real thing. You can't deny it. It's there. But what the devil tries to get you to do is say, we're tired. Look at that rubbish. Look at the enemy. They're everywhere. How can we survive this? We might as well throw it in. We might as well give up. There's no use. I'm worn out anyway. I've got to have some help. Nehemiah steps up and says, let me tell you something, boys. When you're at the point when you are tired and you are worn out and you are surrounded and you are threatened, at that time you go to the low places in your life and you set a guard. You go to the high places in your life and you set a guard. And don't you forget, while you're doing that, remember your Lord. He's been good to you. He has served you. He has protected you so far. The enemy has not changed, but neither has God. God is still on the throne. God will care for his own. God's promises are true. He will not forget you. And he's saying, remember God. What a man Nehemiah is. What a man he is. He's dealing with discouragement. He's gathered the people together. They're worn out. And he steps up and says, protect your low places. Protect your high places. And remember your God. We need to remember God. So many times we focus on discouragement. And it's bombarding us. It's coming over. It's coming and crashing in upon us. It's discouraging. It's disheartening. But in that, we start remembering God and how good he's been. Good night, how good's he been to me. How good has God been to me? And we need to remember God. Remember him. Don't forget him in discouragement. He's the answer to bring you out of it. Remember God. And he goes on. Verse number 14, he says, fight for your families. Whew. I'm telling you, what a book, folks. Verse 14, he says, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Notice this, and fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your houses. I don't know if you see what I see here. But keep in mind, these people are dragging low. They're worn out. They're exhausted. They don't feel like going on. They're worn out. Nehemiah says, boys, set a watch in the low places. Set a watch in the high places. Remember God and fight. I know you don't feel like it. I know you're worn out. I know you're bruised and you're brokenhearted. And I know it hurts. But pray and seek God and fight for your family. Fight for your wife. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Let me tell you something. Oh, God bless my heart. I'm thinking about times when I'm tired and I'm discouraged and I'm down and out. And at that time, the devil tries to take you down. He tries to smash your face down into the mud. And so many times, God's children just lay down there and wather and just say, nobody cares. Nobody knows. Good night. I'm tired. Look at this rubbish down here. Nehemiah saying, get up and dust yourself off. He said, you've got a reason to fight. Your little boy, your little girl, your wife, your homes. That's a good reason to get up when you're tired. That's a good reason to get up and fight when you don't feel like fighting. Why? Because their future depends on your fighting. Amen. Good night. This is all over me tonight. And I'm saying, I know with what's going on in this church, I know there's going to be opposition. I know the devil's going to try to stop it. But may God help us all to set a watch in the low places, set a watch in the high places, remember God, and fight for our family's sake. Amen. Then the fourth thing he gives. Good night, I could stop right there, give a graveyard story and go home. It's been well worth it. But number four, be balanced. Boy, we see this in verses 16 to 18. Came to pass from that time forth at the half of my... By the way, look at verse number 15. I cannot skip this. It came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us. Notice this. And God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. That's a beautiful verse right there, folks. The enemies found out that God was on that side. The enemies found out that God had exposed their evil counsel, and it stopped their secret plot. But then when they went back to work, notice this is so vital, they were balanced when they went back to work. Verse number 16, came to pass in that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, the other half of them held both the spears and the shields, the bows, the whatever those things are, and the rulers behind all the house of Judah. They which build on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, the other hand held a weapon for the builders. Everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. You know what I call that? Building and battling. They're building and battling. That's what they're doing. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. In these verses, there's one thing I see: balance. Notice how when the enemy realized their secret plan was found out and they did not attack, the workers were split up. Part of them went back to building the wall while the other half were watching out for the enemy, armed and ready for war. We also see the people using one hand to work while the other hand held a weapon. Then we see the builders on the wall had a sword girded by his side, so at any given moment they drop their hammers and pick up their swords. Now what's this tell you? This tells you that these dear people were balanced in their approach in the work of God. Some people, all they know how to do is fight. That's all they want to do is fight. And they'll fight for the fundamentals, but then they'll also fight for non-essentials. They're not balanced. Amen. Dr. Curtis Hudson preached a message one time on die, fight, fuss. He said there are things to die for, things to fight about, and things just to fuss about. A lot of people haven't realized that. Some people are fighters, but they never lift a finger to work. You go in a fight, they'll be right there with you, because they love to carve people up. But they will not lift their finger to knock on a door. Imbalance. On the other side, there are those who will work, but they're not willing to fight. They'll work, but if a fight comes, they kind of say, ooh, that's one for the pastor right there. Ooh, I'll knock on doors, but I'm not going to stick my nose in that one. What am I saying? I'm saying God wants his children to be balanced. Some do nothing at all. Others are great fighters but do not work. Others are great workers but do not fight when it's needed. The fact is, the Lord wants his children to be active in the work, but also contending for the faith when it's necessary. Now you have to know when it's necessary, understand. Be balanced. The next thing we see, help those who are under attack. Verses 19 and 20. Hey, when you're discouraged, what can you do? Help somebody else who's discouraged. When you start thinking about somebody else, your problems seem to go away. They're still there. But one of the answers to it is get your eyes off yourself and start focusing on somebody else and serving them. It's interesting how Nehemiah set up an alarm system. Verses 19 and 20. I said to the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet? Resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Nehemiah, unsung hero in the Bible. In these verses, we see Nehemiah setting up an alarm system with the one with the trumpet. He said that when the people heard the trumpet, they were to come, they were to drop what they're doing, come to the sound of the trumpet in order to help somebody else that was in danger. You know what this goes to show? It goes to show how the people were to be willing to help their fellow brethren when their fellow brethren were under attack. You know what God wants at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? And I believe He has it. I really do. But we can all do better. Is that when somebody's hurting, somebody else hurts with them. When somebody's discouraged, somebody else comes along beside them and says, how can I help you with this? Let me carry some of this burden for you. This is what I'm saying. One way they dealt with discouragement is they were mindful of each other. Then the last thing we see is in verse number 20 where it says, realize God is fighting for you. Verse number 20, the last phrase, our God shall fight for us. In this verse we see Nehemiah reminding the people that the Lord was the one who would be fighting for them. In other words, the Lord is on their side. He would win the battle. He would take care of them. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? Number one, we've noticed the discouragement. Number two, the dealing. And number three, and I give you kind of a summary paragraph and we're slowly coming to a close, I show you the devotion. We see this in verses 21 through 23. Now keep in mind what's taking place. These people are discouraged. They're worn out. They're exhausted. They're surrounded. They're threatened. Their lives are threatened. Nehemiah steps up and he deals with it. And he sets a watch and he challenges them to remember the Lord, challenges them to fight for their families, tells them to be balanced. He says, help other people when they're under attack, and can keep in your mind that God's the one that's fighting for us. He's on our side. Notice how they reacted. So we labored, verse 21, in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rise of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Now in a casual reading, you may miss something there. But in all three of those verses, there's great truth. In these verses, we see the Lord, we see the people who were seemingly discouraged are now devoted to the work of the wall. They are devoted to the will of God for their lives. They're devoted to giving their time and ability to the Lord. We see this in verse number 21. In verse number 21, we see them laboring and working, get it, from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Then in verse 22, we see them staying all night in Jerusalem. Instead of going home, they lodged in the city. You know what this tells me? That they were even willing to be a guard during the night. Then in verse number 23, we see they were staying ready to fight at any given moment. In all of this, here's the point I'm trying to make. We see how these people were devoted to this worthy cause. I've got this underlined, italicized, an exclamation point, and bold right here. Here's the statement I'm trying to make under the devotion. They were giving their lives to this work. They were giving their life to it. And I want to ask you this question. What are you giving your life to? Are you giving your life to something or somebody else? Or are you giving it to the God of the work and the work of God? Now in these verses we see dealing with discouragement. And all of us can learn from. In this we've seen the discouragement, the dealing, and the devotion. And in these points, we've seen the following. Point number one, the work of God can be tiring. It really can. Point number two, discouragement can come to those who are working in the work of God. Point number three, the adversaries are out to destroy and hinder the work of God. Point number four, we're to be watching for the enemy in the low and high places. Point number five, we're to remember the Lord. Point number six, family is worth fighting for even when we're tired and worn out. Point number seven, we're to be balanced. Point number eight, we're to be willing to help others under attack. Point number nine, we're to realize the Lord is fighting for us. And point number 10, we should be devoted to the work of God and give our lives to it. Amen. This chapter could be a turning point for you. It is discouraging every now and then. There are opponents. But if you follow God's word, you can live in victory. And you can keep saying, "Pass me another brick, boys. Give me another brick. Give me another brick. Give me another brick." And remember how good God's been to you. Let's all bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. We ask that you bless this service and bless this time tonight. God, help us all to learn what you'd have us to learn. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared here, they're going to begin to play through softly. I always want to start where God starts, and I believe that is with making sure that you're in the family of God. Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Do you know without a doubt that if you drop dead of a heart attack, do you know that you're going to be with the Lord? If there's somebody here tonight and you say, "Jody, that's not me. I don't have that assurance in my heart and life. I do not know for sure that heaven's my home." Listen very closely. If that's you, God loves you so much, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. And all you must do is by faith ask him to come into your heart, forgive your sin, be your Lord and Savior. What a better day to do it than now. Matter of fact, the Word of God says now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. If that's you, may God help you to respond. Then I ask this question. You're here tonight and you say, "Jody, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm discouraged." By the way, it's not wrong to be discouraged. It's wrong to stay that way. You understand the difference? But you say, "Jody, I'm going to be honest. I'm discouraged. I can sympathize with these Jews who said, our strength is decayed. My strength is gone. My legs are weak. I'm tired. I'm discouraged. I'm exhausted." Have you been an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person, folks. Be honest. Raise your hand. You say, I'm discouraged tonight. May the Lord help you. Thank you. May the Lord help you with this. Have you have a tendency to look at the rubbish instead of look at the wall? Be honest. Have you have a tendency to look at the rubbish instead of look at the wall? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Be honest about this. You have a tendency to look at the rubbish. Thank you for being honest. God help you. We all have a tendency of that every now and then. I wonder, have you set a watch in the low places? Have you set a watch in the high places? Have you forgotten the Lord? It's amazing that in the midst of trouble, in the midst of discouragement, we focus on the trouble but forget the blessings of God. How good he's been to us. Amen. And he has been good, hasn't he? I wonder tonight, is there somebody you know that's discouraged? Have you know somebody who's discouraged? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You know somebody who's discouraged? And how's God speaking to you right now? Can you hear that trumpet sound? Can you hear the trumpet like Nehemiah said, "Hey, we're separated on this wall. So I've got a trumpet. I've got this guy with me. He's got a trumpet. It's an alarm system. Anytime you hear it blow, you come to where you hear it." Can you hear that trumpet? Maybe you need to try to encourage somebody. And I wonder tonight, what are you giving your life to? What are you devoted to? Are you devoted to the work of God? Are you devoted to the God of the work? Or are you giving your life to somebody or something else that's a waste? That's a waste. How's God speaking to you? Why don't you do business with him? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help us to trust you, love you, believe you, and be all you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary is going to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to you about anything,
I'm talking about maybe you're not balanced. Maybe you're a good fighter, but not a good worker. Maybe you're a great worker, but not a good fighter. Maybe you're imbalanced, whatever it may be. Maybe you're looking at the rubbish instead of the wall. Maybe you're exhausted. Maybe you know somebody who's discouraged. Whatever it is, whatever God is speaking to you about, why don't you leave your place and come and talk to him about it as he sings. Would you come, please? Would you do it?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free.
Here it is. Sing it with us.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I was singing just a moment. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. God is working. The Lord is moving. And let me say this to you. If this church is going to fulfill what God wants us to do, we have got to learn to overcome opposition and deal with discouragement. It's what we looked at today. We've got to learn to do that. There's going to be opposition. We learned how to overcome that this morning. There's going to be discouragement. We've learned how to deal with that tonight. But in all of this, why should you learn how to do these things? Let me tell you why. Because the wall is essential to the protection of yourself, protection of your family, protection of your future, and for the will of God to be accomplished. But it will not be unless you learn to overcome opposition and deal with discouragement. God, drive it on our hearts. Amen. Let's sing that last verse, Brother Gary. Let's sing it together.
His word shall not fail you, he promised.
Believe him and all will be well.
Then go to a world that is dying.
His perfect salvation to tell.
Sing it out now.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Learn to compare everything that you're going through to the Lord. And when you put him beside of whatever it is, this huge thing goes whoop, and he comes up here and says, good night, Elias. That's the secret. Easy to know. Hard to do, preacher, right? Hard to do. But it's the answer. May the Lord help us. Let's sing that chorus one more time. After we get done with this, all of the first-time visitors, please take your... This is our closing prayer. And I remind all the teachers, all the bus workers, all the deacons and their wives, please meet me right here in the front just for a few minutes. Let's sing this chorus unto the Lord. This is our closing prayer. Let's sing it together.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
God bless you. If you're manning the Welcome Center, you can go back at this time. Thank you for being here tonight. Please be back Wednesday night. You are dismissed. All those people coming up, please come up immediately, please.